Good morning and welcome to Dhuin na Reidhe Waterdance. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program. It's our purpose to speak on the things in God's Word, and if any time you have a question or a comment or maybe a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to study on the program, feel free to contact us. You can do so at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. I'd like for us to begin a series of study on the subject of the church that we read about in the Scriptures. In our first lesson today, we'd like to look at the mission of the church. What I want to do in this lesson is to emphasize the church as a divine arrangement, with a divine arrangement, with a divine purpose. This fact, I think, ought to do away with from our minds the common concept that the church is something that was planned by human wisdom, that it was brought into existence by the human will, and it is ruled by human authority. First of all, let's understand that the church is the result of God's eternal purpose. We see the showing, the manifestation of God's wisdom, which had remained a mystery from eternity, is now known in the preaching of the gospel of Christ, and in the very existence of the church as a part of God's plan. By the way, I hope to have the time for you to have the time to take your Bibles, if you have that opportunity, and turn with us to the verses that we're going to look at. And now let's turn over to Ephesians 3, and it's in verse 8 that we want to begin our reading. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So truly, God's wisdom is manifested, it's shown, even though it has been a mystery since the beginning of time, now through the preaching of the gospel, now we see that by the fact that the church exists, that all of this is a part of God's plan. And we find that such was the purpose and the plan of God from eternity. What we read here in Ephesians 3, let's look at verse 11. It says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God then is the supreme architect of the church. Let's understand that the pattern of the church is divine. Is the result of divine wisdom, divine planning. We know that just as the strength and the beauty of a great building manifests the wisdom of the architect, and certainly a great feat of engineering, such as a great bridge, evidences the wisdom of the engineer. So it is with the church. The church is evidence in its very nature and existence of the wisdom of God of heaven, who planned it. We also must understand that the pattern represents not only divine planning, but divine will, which cannot be disregarded. It must be followed. Let's notice some examples of this. For instance, over in the book of Genesis, if we'll turn there, look with me in chapter 6. It's in Genesis chapter 6 that God gave Noah a pattern for the ark. We find in chapter 6, beginning with verse 13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come upon me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now make an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy son and thy wife and thy son's wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, thou shalt bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. Thou shalt be, or rather they shall be, male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And thou shalt take unto all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. And then notice verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So we see then that here is the instructions, here is the pattern that God gave Noah, and Noah followed that pattern. And as a result, we see that Noah was saved. In Genesis chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house unto the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Of every clean beast I shall take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And again, verse 5, Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. We also find that Peter makes reference to Noah over in the book of 1 Peter. If we'll turn there, look with me in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. We also have reference to Noah made in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11, turn and let's notice and read verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. God gave Noah a pattern. Noah followed the pattern, and the result was the salvation of he and his house. We find that Moses, too, was instructed by God. He was instructed to build a tabernacle, according to the pattern that God gave unto him. Now let's turn our attention over to Exodus, the 25th chapter. In Exodus 25, we find, and we're not going to take the time to read all of these verses, but if you begin reading at about verse 9, and read all the way through the end of that chapter, verse 40, you'll see the instructions that God gave to Moses concerning the building of the tabernacle. All of the intricate details that God wanted incorporated into that tabernacle, he gave those details to Moses. And then when we look in Exodus, the 26th chapter, notice as we turn there and look with me at verse 30. He says, And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount. So again, God urges Moses to do those things that he had instructed him to do according to that pattern that God gave unto him in Mount Sinai. And one of the verses is over in the book of Numbers. In Numbers chapter 8, let's read verse 4. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold, under the shaft thereof, under the flowers thereof, was beaten work. Again, notice, according unto the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses so he made the candlestick. The tabernacle and everything that went into the tabernacle for worship unto God were very detailed instructions that God gave to Moses. And we see again that Moses did according to the pattern that God gave unto him. We know even the fact is that God gave the pattern for the bearing of the ark, or the carrying, the transporting of the ark from place to place. In the book of Exodus, turn with me there and let's look at verse 14. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 14. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. And then in chapter 37, notice what we read in verse 5. And he put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark to bear the ark. So this is how God gave instructions concerning the transporting of the ark. It was to be through the staves that went into the rings on the side of the ark, and it was through those staves that the Levites were to carry the ark upon their shoulders. But you recall that David did not follow the divine pattern, and the result was that Uzzah lost his life as a result when he touched the ark. Over in 2 Samuel, we read that in chapter 6 at verse 3, and they set the ark of the God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Geba. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And we find that David later acknowledges his mistake. Instead of it carrying upon the staves that were put through the rings of the ark, David put it upon a cart. And this was the way that David was transported out of the house of Abinadab. And we find that later, over in the book of 1 Chronicles, that David admits the mistake, the sin that he had committed, and he tries to rectify it there in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Let's begin reading at verse 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and for the Levites, and said unto them, You are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Now notice verse 13. For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priest and the Levite sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereof, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. See, God gave a pattern for the transporting of the ark, and that was important that it be followed. Anything that God commands is to be important. We know, too, that Israel departed from the pattern that God gave, and as a result was condemned. We read about this in the New Testament in the sermon that Stephen preached in Acts chapter 7. Notice what he says beginning in verse 37 of Acts the 7th chapter. And this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of all of your brethren like unto me. Him you shall hear. But friends, we see that our time has rapidly come to an end. We appreciate so much your listening, and we'll, Lord willing, be able to be with you again tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.